Hey, it's Jed Hearn, host of Wizards, Warriors, and Words. If you're enjoying the writing advice on this show, you might like my new podcast, The Jed Hearn Show, where every week I share the best fantasy writing advice that I've learned from publishing 3 fantasy novels and a best-selling video game. There's over 12 episodes that you can listen to right away, including my top 10 fantasy books of all time, how to make fantasy names that don't suck, 2 rules that make writing effortless, and my complete summaries of Brandon Sanderson's and Neil Gaiman's writing classes, and much more. Check it out by searching for The Jed Hearn Show in your podcast app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey, it's Jed. First of all, sorry for the delay in a day in posting this episode. I just came back from a week away in Sydney and I totally forgot to schedule a podcast episode. So instead, you'll be hearing an episode that released on our Patreon in February of this year. So this was our first Patreon exclusive episode. We are going to be putting more exclusive episodes up on our Patreon in the future. So if you want to help support the show and also get access to those episodes when they do release on our Patreon, feel free to go to the link in the description below or to patreon.com/wizards warriors words to hear more Patreon exclusive episodes like this. Currently, we only have one Patreon exclusive episode up, which you are about to listen to right now. But as we move into the future, more episodes will be going up onto that Patreon. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello and welcome to Wizards, Warriors, and Words. This is the very first of our Patreon exclusive episodes. So thank you to all of our amazing patrons, you guys listening to this right now, for making this show possible, because we would not be able to do this bonus episode without you. So thank you very much.
You're wonderful. Your funding is keeping us all in booze. Honest.
That's it. That's it. Important writing resources is the correct technical term for it. I assume if you're a patron, you kind of know all our names already. So
you want to skip the intros?
Yeah, we can skip the intros. Right.
I don't know. I'm Dirk Ashton. I wrote Eternus.
Dirk, Rob, and Mike, and Jed. There.
Yeah, there we go.
I want to be Steve.
All right, Steve. You're Steve from now on. Yes. So in this patron exclusive episode, I thought we could talk about what our current writing routines look like as of the 12th of February, 2022. That is today. Steve / Mike, do you want to kick us off?
All right. So I've got 2 books on the go right now. My routine is I wake up at about 5:30 in the morning. I drink coffee, either stare at a wall and read. And then by 8:30, after I've dropped my kid off at school, I work on The Storm Beneath the World, which is working title, handwriting a novel. I do that until noon. Handwriting, I can handwrite really fucking fast. So by noon, I've got between 2,500 and 3,000 words handwritten.
What?
And then I have lunch handwritten. That's crazy. I have lunch and pack more coffee into me. Afternoon, I get to work on The Last Delusion and work on that until my brain falls apart. And then I go get the kid from school. And that is kind of my day. So the Last Manifest Illusions novel I'm doing on the computer. It's not handwritten. And then the other one, I write a chapter. And then it actually takes me longer to transcribe from handwritten to the computer. than it does to actually write the first draft, because I'm kind of half editing as I transcribe.
Yeah.
The last time I hand wrote novels, I wrote the entire novel and then moved it onto the computer. And that was so fucking horrible.
Yeah.
That was like soul killing bad. This is much better. I do write one chapter, transcribe it, write the next chapter, transcribe. It's working a lot. He's a lot.
Interesting. How does that affect? So why did you decide to kind of go for that process? Because immediately I can see like, you're probably less likely to be distracted by the internet if you're handwriting, because you know.
Yeah, exactly. So I handwrite downstairs at the dining room table. No computer, no laptop.
Yeah.
I have removed all social media shit from my phone.
Great.
So it forces me to focus and basically go. And I just keep a stream of coffees going. And with, you know, every time I'm like, oh fuck, I can't think of that word, I'm forced to just sort of brain barf whatever the simplest word for that is.
Sure.
You know, I'm like, oh, it was fast, you know, and you go. And that's part of, I think, why I can get so much done in the morning. Like I'll get 3,000 words written in the morning before noon. And then between noon and like 4 p.m., I might get 1,500 more words done.
That's epic.
It's impressive.
That is really, really cool. Okay, awesome. And for the handwriting, like, what does that look like? Are you writing in like a journal? Is it on like A4 line paper? Just in as much detail as possible.
So this is the novel right here. It's on 8.5 by 11 paper. You can kind of see it. It's completely illegible because my handwriting is chicken scratch. But I can kind of read it. And that's it.
That is very cool.
This might be a two binder book because it's going to be a beast.
Got it. Okay. That is really, really interesting. I hadn't realized that you'd moved to the handwriting bit. I love that. I love that. That's really cool.
You've gone back and forth a couple times, haven't you?
I have. This is the fourth novel I've handwritten, technically.
Huh. Yeah. There you go. That is very impressive. All right. Rob, what is your current writing routine looking like?
Right. Well, mine's a bit weird because, as some people will know, I suffered from a really hefty case of burnout towards the end of last year. So I took an entire month off and just did no writing, no editing, just didn't even think about it because I couldn't. And I'm back into editing now. I'm not actually back into writing yet. So I've got two books to edit, which is what I'm doing at the moment. And then after that, I'll be moving back into writing. But I'm going to try and sort myself into a bit more of a regimented routine, because I spoke to a few authors and they have been through burnout as well. And they basically, you know, like, yeah, I had to, once I sort of got through the worst of it, I had to figure out a new routine. So what I've discovered is I write much better in the morning. Like between when I start and lunchtime, I can usually bang out, you know, a good sort of 3,000 words. But then in the afternoon, I'm quite often struggling to get down any whatsoever. So my current plan for when I do get back to it is wake up about 8 o'clock. By 9 o'clock, I sit down to start writing. Right through to about 10:30, which is when Beagleface wakes up and demands to be taken for a walk. So then take a break, take the dog for a walk, come back, you know, spend another hour and a half writing, then stop for lunch. And then in the afternoon, I might try and get some more writing done, or I might just take afternoons to be, you know, admin stuff, like dealing with advertising, you know, sorting out my ads, or just dealing with emails that have come in or anything like that.
New self-pub releases a month. Per month. Yeah.
So it's just this idea of I'm gonna try and play into my strengths, which is the morning writing. That's when I'm most creative, when I get most done. And also not beat myself up over word counts alike, because I did realize that I was getting to that point where I was sort of writing 3,000 words a day, and then I'd say that was a bad day, which is idiotic. Like, yeah. I looked at how much I'd done last year and went, I only wrote two books last year. That's not much.
What? You're real slacking off.
Like, you know, awesome. I wrote two books, awesome, which was like 300,000 words. And my brain was just like, that's not much. You could have written more. Not
enough. Do more. Yeah.
Fuck. That was dangerous. So, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, I'm trying to restructure at the moment to get into a much healthier routine. And that's the sort of thing that I'm going to be going for. But I do like the idea of handwriting occasionally. So I may. Nice.
Yeah, that's really tempting me.
Yeah, well, I've recently printed off a manuscript, which is like 220,000 words or something like that, which I'm going to edit by hand, because I know a lot of authors swear by a hand edit. Like, you know,
I always do that.
It's really nice. Yeah.
So I'm going to try that, although it's quite annoying because I actually got my missus to print it off at work to save money. And she did it front and back, and I hate front and back.
No.
Send
it away.
Have it done again.
I do front and back too, just to save.
We don't want to hear about yours.
Not
otherwise, the stack would be this tall.
But yeah, then when you write on the front,
you know me too well, Mike. You know me too well.
Oh, that's so.
It was 772 pages, so yeah. Ooh. Without doing it front and back, it would have been like that. But
that's fair. That's fair. Any other details about the routine before we move on to Dirk's?
I don't think so. It's just this idea of like not beating myself up, not focusing on the word count and just going, right, I will write from this to this. And however much gets done, gets done. Mm. So, and then actually a good piece of advice I heard from, I got from David Dalgleish, who also went through a period of burnout, was don't write until you can't anymore. You know, there's this temptation of when you're writing to keep going while it's sort of flowing. You're like, yeah, I can go a bit more. I can go a bit more. I'll get a few more words out. And you get to the point where then you're just empty and you've got nothing left. And whereas what he said was like, you know, have a time basically. So you write until this time. And if it's, even if it's still flowing at that point, stop. Because the chances are when you come back to it, if it was flowing when you stopped and you come back to it, it'll start flowing again because you'll be energized. But if it wasn't flowing when you stopped and you were struggling, when you come back to it, that's what you're going to remember. You're going to remember the fact that it was a struggle. Yeah. So
was it Hemingway who said, always stop writing when you know what's going to happen next?
In his memoir, A Movable Feast, he has a bit of an essay about that.
Who was it that said, always stop halfway through a sentence?
I think that is sort of like that's an appropriation of Hemingway's thing. I swear by that as well. Like sometimes I'll even stop halfway through a word and it's amazing.
Oh God, it's so annoying that when you come back to it the day after and you're like, what was that going to be? What the fuck?
It's fine when it's a basic word like wood or something like that. But if it's like some 50 syllable fantasy name or whatever, you're like, did I forget how to spell? What's going on here?
Anybody else notice that the one word just that he picked as an example was wood?
It's a simple word. Like what?
Okay. So what is the or say? And or
yeah, that's fair. House. That's fair.
But no.
there you go. Dirk, what is your routine looking like right now?
Oh, it's a mess. it is, honestly. My ideal routine is I love to write in the afternoons. Get my school, my day job, the schoolwork, whatever administrative stuff I absolutely have to take care of, you know, class grading, dealing with students, stuff like that. I like to get that out of the way, budget stuff, whatever it is, working on taxes, whatever that crap. Ugh,
what is taxes?
I like to get that done in the morning. That way I don't have to worry about it the rest of the day. And I was able to do that for a long time. It's just not happening anymore. We're in that middle of the renovations on the house and certain family health issues and some things going on that have just been really, really busy. It's been hard to carve out the hour at least, you know, but an hour and a half to 2 hours is about all I've been getting, maybe 5 or 6 days a week. And that's just not enough. I'm also going back. So I've moved to just to writing in the mornings because that seems to be when the least amount of emergencies come up. right? Things that have that, oh shit, this gotta happen right now. So I've moved to writing in the mornings, and that has helped. But again, I can't do it every morning, 5 to 6 days a week. So it gets flip-flopped back and forth. And the other thing is that with the first book that I wrote, I was under no deadline or anything. So I never did count word counts or anything like that. But then for my books 2 and 3, I did. And ideally what I like to be able to do is get an outline to a certain point and then just sit down and crank out those word counts every day. My goal is only $1,300.
$1,300.
I wish 1300 words a day. But sometimes it's a struggle to get that done. And a lot of that is writing really fast and putting brackets, look up, look this up, you know, name, you know, place, describe, things like that, and just keep flying.
Big fan.
That's how I'm able to even get 1300 words in three or four hours, maybe. Ideally, I like to work for between 3 and 4 hours to write, nice. But that's about all my brain can take in a day. And then it just kind of shuts down. So right now I'm doing like the third or fourth re-outline. So going back, so I have to force myself each day. Sometimes it'll change. It's like, okay, no, I really need to go back and fix this stuff before I move forward. Cause I'm getting to the point where what people say and how people react to each other and what happens depends on what happened back here. So I have to go back and like fix some of that stuff. So I have that set in my mind. So I don't have three different scenarios set in my mind and forget which one I actually decided I was going to do. So I'm in that right now, but that's really hard when you don't have chunks of time, of set time aside, and it kind of shifts around and moves longer and shorter different times each day. It's even harder than just writing. For me is the outlining stuff. So what I've decided, and I actually just took a note right here. There are a couple of notes for the current book that I'm doing, one up top. And the one I just wrote when I was listening to those guys talk was get the major beats at least, right? Just get the major beats that I know that I haven't gotten to yet and stop trying to fill in all the information and just get those laid out. And those I could probably do today, hopefully this afternoon. I know I want this to happen.
Yes.
And then go back and mess around with some other stuff and then come back through and fill in. But I've never been able to outline an entire book and then just write that book.
Sure.
I've always had to stop and go back and re-outline. This one more than most, even though this one is a lot faster and more fun to write. There are moving parts that I have to deal with that I haven't, since it's a progression fantasy in other books that I've written. So even though it kind of is fast and really fun to write and I'm loving the characters and the situations, there's more blueprinting that has to be done before I can build this house and make it stand up. So
nice.
That's kind of my process these days.
Sweet. Yeah, my process is kind of echoing a lot of things that you've mentioned there, Dirk. I used to write for a few hours in the morning before I started work at about 9 o'clock or so. So I'd get up at like 6 and then have 1.5 hours or maybe even 2 hours before I even go off to work, do my writing then. Recently, I moved to, about 4 months ago now, moved to a new job where I am actually having to write during the day at the job because it's a journalist role essentially. And that starts at 6:30 in the morning from home. So basically just wake up, have a shower, go for a little walk, come back here, start doing work. Finishes at 2:30 in the afternoon.
And you do a routine, walkabout every morning?
Yeah, it's only like a 10-minute walk around the block just to kind of, I just feel like I can't wake up unless I get that early morning awesome. Sun exposure.
I was just making a stupid Australian joke.
What's that? We have this gray dome and negative 20 weather and...
Yeah, a bit hard in Canada.
Are you insane?
Yeah, well, I try to get a bit of the Canada experience by having a cold shower every morning, but cold shower in Australia is like probably 30 degree temperature. No, not 30 degree temperature. Whatever your average, like, yeah, summer day temperature is.
Yeah, but you're talking centigrade, which makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't. I'm realizing
the real temperature, not any of your Fahrenheit malarkey.
Just not even working. Yeah, so
usually
I finish up the day job around about 2:30 or so. And then the routine is would either go to the gym and kind of just like clear my head by doing some climbing first and then come back home and write, or go to a library and write there for probably about 90 minutes or so before coming home, maybe going for a walk and then possibly doing some writing later. So still trying to get the routine nailed down, because I definitely do find it more difficult to write in the afternoons and evenings, just because generally more things are on then, and you've had whatever has happened during the day for it. And I also feel like I haven't had a true test of that routine yet, because probably for the last 4 or even 5 months, I've just been locked into editing on the Siege of Treblin, which is the game I've been talking about for 2 years. We finally have a publication date locked in for that, though. It should come out on April 14, and I have about like 8 days left to get the final edits in. So need to crank on that at some stage. But
what
yeah,
are you writing at the moment then?
What do you mean? Like, what am I?
Well, you said like you're getting you're sort of writing them, but that's the editing. What are you actually writing now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not like I'm just working on the edits basically at this stage.
Oh, you're still working on it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I thought you mentioned you were writing something new.
I did actually start outlining the next book project earlier this year. So yeah, I can't wait to get into that. I think it's always that thing when you're in a big stretch of editing, you're like, I know objectively that this is awesome because it means that this book is going to go out there soon and this is my chance to polish it and to make it perfect. But also you're just like, I just want to stop having to worry about all these 101 moving parts and just be able to sit down, you know, start at the beginning of a chapter, finish at the end of a chapter and have a sense of accomplishment and know what I did for that day. And cool. It's particularly exacerbated writing, editing a game, because it's like, okay, this change here might affect 3 chapters later because of the stats and how they interplay between them. And it's a lot of like fiddling around between it. So I think it's going to make me really, really happy. Not that I haven't enjoyed this process, because it has been awesome, but it's going to be really nice, I think, to go back to the regular prose writing where I outline it, I start at the beginning, I go through, and you can kind of hold the story in your head a little bit better. Yeah, so that's sort of where I'm at the moment with it. Yeah, very interested to see like how the writing routine will go when I actually get back into the first draft of a new story. But yeah, I think that's basically it for this first patron exclusive episode. Please let us know what else you would like us to cover in these patron exclusives. Yeah, and thank you so much for funding the show. Whatever donation level you're at, we really appreciate it. And yeah, it's still amazing to me that people want to pay to listen to us just sort of ramble about stories and about writing. And yeah, I think I speak for us all when I say we really appreciate it.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you, everybody. Dirk, did you have any last thing to say to our patrons there? Or
me?
Yep. I just sounded you were starting to say something.
Oh, no, I was. Well, actually, I was just going to let you go. But okay, cool. Actually, next week, Tuesday, I have to, I'm going to get on a, after for 10 days, do a real writing schedule, because I'm doing a short story for Grimuck Press's next Unbound.
Nice series. Stuff.
I mean, it's insane. I don't know how I got that, because it's like Joe Abercrombie and big.
I was gonna say, I didn't realize they did like indie authors.
They do now. I may be the only one in this one, but that I'm really looking forward to that. It will force me to take a break from the project I'm working on now. And I just finished reading, doing a reread of Roger Zelazny's Creatures of Light and Darkness, which is one of my very favorite books ever. And I just love his style.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be doing an episode with Mihir Wanchu at Fantasy Book Critic on that. And I'm like, I totally want to rip off his style and just really, you know, wallow around in it and have a hell of a lot of fun.
Nice.
So I've decided, instead of any of the other ideas I had, I'm going to do an old idea, Gilgamesh and Enki, the further adventures of Gilgamesh and Enkidu.
Hell so yes.
It's going to be nuts because it's going to be very Zelazny-esque if I can pull it off, because, you know, I'm not Zelazny. Nobody is. So
that is cool.
Looking forward to that. And that will just be cranking out words each day. So
yeah, yeah. Great. Well,
it has to be 3,000 words, and I have 10 days to do it. So it should be fun.
Should be a piece of cake. Fingers crossed, man.
It'll be fun. I'm just going to make it fun.
That's epic.
And nutty. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, yeah, let us know when that's up, and we can post a link on the Patreon or send it out or whatever.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, thank you for listening and being a patron. And hopefully we see you for another patron exclusive episode sometime soon. I'm not exactly sure what the schedule will be with these things. We'll figure it out and hopefully get into one at some stage. All right. See you, everybody.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.